talk. Today I have the privilege of speaking with George McDonough. George is the CEO of Kryptonite One. Hello there, George, and how are you?
Hi there, I'm very good, thank you very much.
Now, George, I'm really pleased that you've took the time out. I know you're in a wonderful place in the world today, and I'm hoping the sand and the sun of Australia doesn't interfere with the Wi-Fi connection that we've got.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be okay.
Okay. Now, George, what I wanted to do was, obviously, you've just signed up to appear at the Cardiff Investors Show with Share Talk on the 18th of February. But firstly, I wanted to talk to you about Kryptonite One and just ask you to give our listeners an overview of Kryptonite One and its blockchain passions and methodology and strategy, please.
Sure. Well, Kryptonite One was set up to take advantage of the sort of expanding blockchain ecosystem. What we saw initially with Bitcoin was the invention of peer-to-peer payments without a middleman, and it was incredibly exciting. But obviously, I guess the Bitcoin protocol itself is very good for one thing, and that's transferring value. And out of the Bitcoin invention came, well, they call it blockchain, which is the underlying technology of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And it developed in various ways. One of the main ways it developed was an invention called Ethereum by a young guy called Vitalik Buterin. And what Ethereum allows you to do, it uses the blockchain in a new way. It allows for smart contracts, and sort of off the back of this technology, new businesses started to grow with new ways of funding themselves. And what Kryptonite One does is essentially purchases cryptographic tokens that are released by these companies building on the Ethereum platform. It's not just the Ethereum platform. There are others that we're looking at, but it's mainly the Ethereum platform at the moment. And we buy these cryptographic assets at a very young stage in the life cycle of these companies. So effectively, there isn't really a sort of VC methodology here, because there's no IP. The blockchain's very open source.
Yeah.
So what these companies have to do is they have to effectively crowdfund, and they do that by handing out cryptographic assets to the market that represent some kind of functionality in their system when they end up producing that system, and they take the money that they gain from selling these assets to the market, and they build their platform, and then those assets are worth more further down the line, because obviously the system utilizes them in some way. So it's a little bit like crowdfunding. They call them ICOs, initial coin offerings.
Okay.
And that's what Kryptonite One does. Partly, we also do some private equity in blockchain companies. So we look at up and coming companies, and just buy private equity in them. But our main focus is on these cryptographic tokens.
Okay, so one of the main purposes of my call today is that you made an investment mm-hmm. in Satoshi Pay this week.
Yes.
So you could tell us a bit more about that, please.
Yeah, well, that's on the private equity side.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting part of the blockchain space is micropayments. Initially, when Bitcoin first came onto the scene, there was a lot of excitement about the fact that, you know, a particular Bitcoin can be broken down into many decimal places, and because of the frictionless way that these coins are transacted, you'd be able to pay for something very quickly, very easily, but pay for something incredibly small, like a fraction of a cent. And this was people thought would very much begin to open up the internet in a way that the advertising model doesn't allow. So, you know, you watch a video, you watch an advert, that pays for the content to some degree, although it doesn't work particularly well. And then you have the issue with ad blockers now, which are coming up. And what Satoshi Pay is, Satoshi Pay is a system that is sort of I'd argue furthest ahead in the road of bringing micropayments to the world. Effectively, what it looks like is if you were going through a content website of some kind, like a blog, or you have a little wallet at the side filled with Bitcoin, although you don't actually have to interact with Bitcoin as a user. You can do it via Visa card, but effectively, as you go through a piece of content, you pay as you read, and sort of tiny fractions of Bitcoin just disappear out of your wallet as you go, and this allows you to it allows content producers to pay themselves in a new way. It allows viewers of content to interact with the content that they like best, so effectively pay their content producers straight away, goes straight into their wallet, and I think it's very exciting in terms of where the world is going in terms of the advertising model and obviously ad blockers. So yeah, that's why we went in with that. Meinhardt and Alex are very impressive. The team are very impressive. Our main I suppose the three things that we look at Kryptonite, one are what we call team, traction, and tech. So, you know, who's the team, how much traction have they got, and how good's the tech?
Yeah.
Certainly they ticked every box, and I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to be in good company there, because obviously it takes a lot for a company like Visa Europe to sign up Satoshi Pay, which is what they did last year, to collaborate.
That's
with
right.
Them. So you're in very good company there.
Well, it seems to me that the, you know, the Bitcoin has come through various major roadblocks, and they started by saying, oh, it's not going to do anything, and then you know, it didn't go away, and then they're like, oh, okay, there's something interesting here, and then the big companies have begun to realize, you know, that there's a lot here to get on with, and actually it's going to be the first to jump that's going to win. So I think gradually we're seeing the big companies come on board. Great to see Visa.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was doing some research. I've been doing some research on it for a little while now, because I spoke to a few individuals that are in the blockchain space. And mm-hmm. The last big report I read was saying that there's over 70 financial institutions that have invested in the blockchain technology. And that includes the likes of Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's absolutely right. It's everyone has begun to realize that there's a major piece of technology here, and quite groundbreaking. Well, massively groundbreaking.
Yeah.
Depending on who you talk to, they say it's, you know, as big as the internet in terms of its disruptive capabilities. What these large institutions are doing is interesting. So some of them are investing in their own tech, so they're looking at this and saying, okay, you know, how can this help us? And a lot of them have these blockchain labs, as they call them, where they bring in the requisite talent and get them working away on you know, innovations that'll help them. Personally, my personal perspective is that the public blockchains, where you get the full decentralized security model, are the most interesting. But there's, you know, all forms of innovation on the outsides of this are all exciting, and I think the public blockchains can consume some of these innovations as well, depending on how they're released. But yeah, there's definitely some big names moving. I'd point out Santander's involvement with Ethereum. Is a big one. Obviously, Deloitte and IBM and companies like that have been playing a large role. Very exciting. It's very exciting.
It's very exciting. I mean, because the other thing was the recent report from Accenture, which was saying essentially that there could be a $12 billion annual saving by implementing blockchains in their businesses. You know, it's like staggering amounts there.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that we've been hearing. And I'd say in a way that, you know, blockchains reducing a company's bottom line is just the beginning.
Yeah.
I think that's where it begins. But certainly looking at some of the companies that are being built on these public blockchains like Ethereum, which obviously have a lot of proving still to do in terms of their full capabilities. But certainly looking ahead, there are some very interesting businesses that are decentralizing a lot of what these large companies do. But you know, we're still many years out from some of these coming to fruition. So okay. it's all very healthy.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that question. I was going to say, what do you see as the hurdles to full adoption of blockchain technology, George?
Well, I mean, it's a gigantic space, isn't it? Yeah. There are things like Satoshi Pay where you know 90% of their customers won't even know that they're really interacting with the blockchain. They just see it as a new way of consuming content. And that in itself will take some time to feed through into the system. And then you have, completely on the other sort of spectrum, you have people who sort of, you know, eat, sleep and breathe crypto, who are organizing their companies through decentralized entities like Colony. They're, forming governance for themselves. The biggest barrier, I suppose, is just getting your. There's a lot of education, I suppose, that needs to happen in terms of how these systems work.
Yeah.
Because people won't trust them, you know, with large sums of money, unless they understand how the technology works.
Yeah. And also securities as well. And
people getting used to. I mean, things are getting a lot better now, but people getting used to holding their own funds.
Yeah.
And being responsible for their own funds. You know, is a big deal. But things are getting much better in that direction. Companies like Coinbase in the States who are really, you know, opening up new avenues for customers in terms of holding their coins and insurance and various other things. But I think the biggest barrier initially is just purely understanding how it works and what it is and whether you should trust it.
Yes.
And the media's got a big part to play in that. When the big companies come on board, the media will follow to some extent and be like, okay, this is interesting. Instead of just endlessly talking about, you know, hacks and stuff, which isn't particularly much use. Because very often what you find, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but you find that the line is blurred between a particular protocol Ethereum or Bitcoin and the third party application of that blockchain, which is where the weakness is, and it's very clear. It's very important to distinguish the fact that, you know, the blockchains themselves, you know, haven't been hacked in any way. It's the implementation of them on sort of, you know, custodian websites, you know, where coins get taken and so on and so forth. Yeah. So there's that, and that, you know, also, you know, the community doesn't do itself any favors as well sometimes in terms of, you know, coming up with all manner of ridiculous schemes for people who don't truly understand, you know, how the systems work. And that you're going to find that with everything, I suppose. But
I was going to say, because if you go back historically, when checks were introduced, everyone went, oh, I'm going to sign a bit of paper and tell somebody I'm paying them £10. Then we had BACS payments and people were like, oh, I put in the details in here and a BACS payment's made automatically for me. Then we've got mobile payments, you know, digital payments. And it feels to me like the evolution of it is obviously this digital currency is going to be here, you know, and the government are going to adapt it at some point because they'll be able to track and see things more transparently and be less fraud because everything will be able to be detected anyway.
Yeah, I think that's bang on. I see it as exactly the same in the sense that it's an evolution, and you know it's the various governments around the world are looking at it very closely.
Yeah.
None more so than the Chinese whose population are enamored by Bitcoin.
Yes,
quite rightly so.
Very much so.
I think I heard that 87% of Bitcoin transactions happen in China.
Yeah, and more recently that's gone up extremely high in the sense of that, you know, they've had their, not necessarily the currency confiscated, but they've had so much money, little money that they can actually transact with. So they've been forced down the route of dealing with Bitcoin and also in gold, haven't they?
That's certainly what I hear.
Yeah. So I wanted to just cover two more questions before we finish here, George.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, the fundamental question that most people are going to be asking me to ask you is, how long do you see it is before it is possible to use blockchain technology as a closed network?
Okay, that's interesting. Blockchain technology is a closed network in the sense of what your the company that you work in.
360 degree security, transparency, etc.
That's an interesting question. I wouldn't say that long. I think the amount of innovation that's happening and the pace of the innovation is so strong. But you know, I if I was to put a figure on it, I'd probably say 3 years.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But how best to put it? Yeah, every day there's a new way of producing these blockchains that people are working on.
Right.
They have different algorithms that sit at the base of them. Some of them are working on privacy, some of them working on sort of speed, other, you know, consensus. Some work with coding languages that are far more secure than others. And so there's this, it's just this like actually an explosion of innovation. And the trick is going to be fitting together a system that is robust enough to hold, you know, vast sums of wealth. Now, Bitcoin's obviously the oldest and the best in terms of its security, but it also doesn't evolve particularly, which perhaps it doesn't have to. Perhaps it should be what it is. Digital gold.
Yeah.
Should have to.
Yeah.
But it leaves the door open.
Yeah,
some serious innovation on the sidelines.
There's lots of innovation. I absolutely agree with you there, George. Because I noted, I think it was late last year, that Anthony, if I can pronounce this correctly, Anthony DeLorio,
DeLorio,
founder of
the
Bitcoin Alliance. He actually, and the co-founder of Ethereum, he left TMX.
That's
Group
correct.
To then, you know, pursue his own interest in the blockchain technology chain. And I thought, whoa, you know, he's either thinking these guys are too slow, or they're holding me back. You know, I'm going to go off and do my own thing, which is what, you know, where he started from in that premise.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I very much value his wallet, Jax. Jax is an interesting consumer product that he's putting out there in terms of actually holding these coins. You watch them go through a very interesting process of deciding which coins to add to their wallet or not. And that can be a very good indicator in terms of where, because obviously Anthony and his team are going to do a lot of research into you know, who are producing these assets, and are they, because once they give them, you know, space on their wallet, you know, that there's no going back, really.
Of course.
I'd say, you know, certainly in my world, he's one of the indicators in terms of which assets are proving popular and whether they get put on jacks or not. I mean, obviously there's thousands that aren't, that are still perfectly legit. But I think he's a big. Yeah, a big player, and I think Jax is very interesting.
Yeah, he's a very interesting guy. I just wanted to close our interview, George, with just a little soundbite from yourself. You're gonna be attending the Cardiff Investors Show with Share Talk on the 18th mm-hmm. of February. Hopefully, you're gonna bring one or two of your colleagues there. I just wanted for you to just give a little soundbite as to why and how interesting it's going to be regarding your presentation and why investors should come to have a listen to you and your team at Kryptonite One at the show?
Sure. I think that this is a really interesting space if you're an investor. In a way, you could say that this is the dawn of a new form of internet, a new area of value exchange. And what I'll be discussing will be what the environment looks like, why it's exciting, and why Kryptonite One has positioned itself in the perfect space to take advantage of it.
Excellent. I enjoyed that reply, George. Now, I just wanted to thank you ever so much for taking the time out in Australia. I realise it's very early in the morning, and you've probably not had your breakfast
yet. It's all good.
So I say thank you ever so much. I look forward to seeing you and your team on the 18th of February in Cardiff.
Absolutely looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you ever so much, chap. And speak to you soon.
Okay. Cheers. Bye. Thanks. Bye. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. For now. Bye.
Bye.